We are still in the middle of Perek Yutas of Maseiros Yesharim, and the Maseiros Yesharim is describing ideal ways to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how a person strives to do mitzvahs in the best possible fashion. The Ramchal brings an example from how the Bikurim were brought and how you do Hiddur Mitzvah. Bikurim were brought to Yerushalayim, and Chazal tell us that the animals, the oxen, would have their horns adorned with gold and olive branches, like wreaths on their heads. The wealthy would bring the Bikurim in golden baskets, the poor in wicker baskets. And then there were three midas of Bikurim. There's the actual Bikurim, there's Tosefes Bikurim, that they add to the Bikurim, the Itur Bikurim, and adornments, decorations. Harlona behed yakamarolona lahoisef agufa shemitzke. How do you see how important it is to add to mitzvahs to make it more beautiful? Umikanilma the kosher mitzvah shabbatar. From here, we will learn to all of the mitzvahs in the Torah. This is what we learned in this week's parsha, Zakeli Vanvehu, it's part of the Shira. There's a concept of making the mitzvahs no'eh. V'anveihu, one of the definitions of v'anveihu is to make the mitzvahs beautiful. And it's adding to the mitzvah, decorating the mitzvah, and this is how it's described in Bikurim. We know the Gemara describes it by sukkah. The Gemara describes decorations of the sukkah. They would hang curtains, tapestries, things to beautify the sukkah. And all the mitzvahs we try to do beyond the requirement. And that's what he's pointing out in this whole chapter of Chassidus, not being satisfied with the bare minimal requirement of the mitzvah, but rather to do more than the minimum, to do extra, to decorate. And all this is part of the way we try to do mitzvahs beyond our minimum requirement, to show there's something we want to do, there's something we are happy to do. For Amru, the Ramchal continues to bring the Gemara, Rava Rami Pazamke Umatzle. Rava would make sure to dress in nice clothing before he daven Shemon Esrei. Amru, he would say, Hikon l'kras l'kech Yisrael. Prepare yourself to greet your God, O Israel, which we learn is a pasuk teaching us how to prepare for davening. Hikon is to prepare for davening. A person should straighten himself up for davening, even if you're not going to change your clothing for davening. You might want to wash your hands. You might want to straighten up. I know some men will button their jackets for davening. Chassidim will put on a whole special thing called a gartel. They take a gartel out to put on for davening. There's preparation we make for davening. One of the things we talk about is footwear for davening. So I think everyone knows you have to wear shoes when you daven Shemoneh Esrei. You wear shoes when Shemoneh Esrei. What kind of shoes do you wear? You should wear respectable shoes. A lot of yeshivas will not let the boys wear sneakers for davening. Some camps don't let the boys wear sneakers for davening. They wear sneakers all day, but not for davening. For davening, change into shoes. Hikon l'kras l'kech yisrael. You prepare to greet the Ribbono Hashem. You prepare before going to daven Shemoneh Esrei. If there was a visiting gadol who came to camp or came to the yeshiva, I imagine they would tell the boys to wear their big day Shabbos, put on your Shabbos clothes, put on Shabbos shoes. A gadol b'Yisrael comes, you don't go and line up to meet him in your sneakers and t-shirts. You dress up. You daven Shemoneh Esrei, hikon l'kras l'kech yisrael. Odom HaBasen Ezal, the Chacham, say further, al posik big day Esav b'na chamudos. The pasuk says that Esav had special clothing. Amishim Gamliel Anisha Mashti V'chulu. Aval Esav K'shei Mashash Zaviv Lo Yimashash B'di Malchus. Amishim Gamliel said that I did tremendous kibud of aim. I served my parent, but I didn't do like Esav. Esav did more than I do. Esav would only serve his father when he was wearing royal clothing. His big day chamudos, these special clothing, he would put on when he cared for his parents. That's a madrigo. You're going to serve your father, you're going to serve your mother, put on special clothing to do so. Vihine. If that's a madrigo for a human being, After all, parents are still flesh and blood, and that's how you serve a parent. Kal v'chaymer l'melech machem l'och v'kadosh baruch hu, how much more so when we are coming to serve the Ribbono shel Olam, the King of Kings, sh'omer l'faneiv l'hispal, you're going to stand in front of Hashem. Ra'oi hu shilbash bigdei chavod, it is appropriate to wear honorable clothing. V'yesh l'faneiv k'mishesh v'melech gadol, and should sit before the Ribbono shel Olam when you daven, the way you would sit before a great king. V'hinei. In addition, when we talk about ways to make our mitzvahs more beautiful and more respectable, we should consider the honor we give to Shabbos and Yontif. The more covered we give to Shabbos and Yontif, the more nachas ruach we give to our Creator. Shekain Sivanu, it's a pasuk, v'chibadato. Novi Yeshaya says that you should honor it. V'chibadato, covered Shabbos, covered Yontif, is already mentioned in the Novi, as something we should strive for. V'kevet shekras amis lonu, shekibudu mitzvah. Now we already know the truth, that giving cover to Shabbos is a mitzvah. Hine mine hakibud rabam heim. There are many ways to give covered. Acha klalhu, the general rule is, shekol ma'ase shebo nirah chashivus haShabbos, any action we do that shows that Shabbos is important, tzrichin an laso, so we should do. Okay, and therefore, hayu chachamim rishonim oiskin b'achanas haShabbos, ish lefrak dako. The early chachamim from the Gemara's time would be engaged in preparation for Shabbos, each one on his level, or what he knew how to do. Ravahu would sit on an ivory stool to fan the fire to prepare for Shabbos. Rav Safra mecharech reisha. Rav Safra would roast the head of the animal covered Shabbos. Rava malch shibuta. Rava would salt the fish. Rav Huna madlik shrog. Rav Huna would light the flames. Rav Papa godol basilta. Rav Papa would twist the wicks. Rav Chista parim silka. If Chista used to dice beets, Ravi Yosef mitzalchut sivi, Ravi Yosef would cut wood, Rav Nachman mechatef v'ayal mechatef v'nopik, Rav Nachman would be carrying things on his shoulder in and out of the house. Ami, he would say, Ilu mekali Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi, if Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi would come to visit me, look mekatfina kamei, wouldn't I be busy carrying things for them? How much more so for Shabbos? V'sira hakeisha shab Nachman, look at this analogy Rav Nachman makes. Sheish lanu mimenu mokam limu, we can learn from this. Ki nehoye mizboinen, he was thinking, ma hoye oysel if yidarko lo odom shuchavet zechabdo. If I wanted to give honor to a human being, what would I do? Ukeze atzmoy oysel, that's for Shabbos. If you had a special guest coming to your house, wouldn't you want your house to be clean? So that's what you do for Shabbos. Anything you would do to give honor to a human being who's coming to visit, you could derive from that that you should do similar to give kavod to Shabbos. We say the concept here is that a person should always think about how to fulfill Yerushalayim, to be crafty or scheming in Yerushalayim, in order to think about one thing to lead to another thing, and to create new ideas, be creative. Lasos nachas ruach liyotzo. How can he give nachas ruach to the Bereshon? Bechal devarim sheref shel haros, in any way possible to demonstrate. Heyos makirim goydel v'musol, when it's evident how great Hashem is, asher alkein kol ma'ashem is yaches lo, so whatever is attributable to Hashem, ye nichbar aleinu kavod gadol. So that should be covered. What we consider to be covered, we would do this covered for the Kaddish Baruch Hu. V'kimush yisparach b'tuva ha-gadol kol shif im kol shif. Now, the Ribbono Shel Olam, in his goodness, with all our shiflos, with how small we are, rotza ban vasol lachlok lonu kovd musalonu divi kedusha. So Hashem, in his humility, wants to give us covered, to give us these things that are kadosh. The pachas b'kol chav ein echadim. So the minimum we can do is use all our energy to give it honor. To show that this is in fact dear to us. So the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us Shabbos, despite the fact that we maybe don't deserve Shabbos. So the least we can do is show how significant and important it is to us that Hashem gave us Shabbos. V'sira, and you'll see, shezosi ha'yira ha'amitis, this is the ultimate true yira. She ha'yiras ha'roimus shezachanu. We call this yiras ha'roimus. It's a degree of yiras shemayim, a degree of fear, that comes from a recognition of how great Hashem is. This is this covered we're talking about depends on this, and it's very close to Ahava, as I'll write further on with Hashem's help. As opposed to simple fear of punishment. That's not the main thing. When you're not going to derive great midos from Yiras Oynish. Let's go back to Shabbos. In the armor of unlovish gunda, it says that Rav Anan would dress in black. Then he should lovish beget shachor be'av Shabbos. He would put on black clothes before Shabbos. So that when Shabbos came, he would change into nice clothing, and they'd see the difference. The black clothing at that time was not considered nice, and he would change into something nice, maybe white, and that would demonstrate the kavod Shabbos. So you see that not only preparing for Shabbos is part of Kavod Shabbos, Ela filo had there, but even things you don't do, and through that you'll notice the Kavod, Gamhu Michal HaMitzvah is also part of the Mitzvah. So an example of this is, he's saying not to dress in nice clothes of Shabbos, to save nice clothes for Shabbos. Similarly, V'chein, Asuk Barasud Erev Shabbos. You can't have a beautiful meal Erev Shabbos. They covet Shabbos, because covet Shabbos is that Shabbos is the beautiful meal. V'chein kal kiyotze b'zeh, and that's true of anything similar to this. So, when it comes to Shabbos, there are things that we do to give covet to Shabbos, and it's similar to things that we might do if we had an important guest, whether it's cleaning up the house and preparing good food and making sure there's lights, making sure the house is warm. In those days, it was cutting wood and lighting fires, so we have electricity, we do it a little differently. Preparing the house for Shabbos, and certain things we wouldn't do Erev Shabbos to demonstrate when Shabbos comes. So I don't know if we have with the clothing, the special clothing is reserved for Shabbos, but certainly the idea of the Seudah, we don't have Seudah Erev Shabbos that will interfere with the Kavod Shabbos Seudah. When Purim comes out on Friday, and you have a lavish Seudas Purim, it's a mitzvah of a Seudas Purim. We try to do the Seudah before Chatzos. We want to do the Seudah early. Everything is rushed when it's Erev Shabbos. We try to do the Seudah before Chatzos because we don't want to start a Seudah in the afternoon, because then you won't see the Kavod Shabbos at the Seudah Friday night. So we wait until, we don't do the Seudah in the afternoon, we do it in the morning. And obviously any other Seudas mitzvah, whether it's Bris, Pidyon Ben, whatever it is, we'll do it Friday morning. We're not going to do it in the afternoons. We have an issue with having Seudas in the afternoon because then it takes away Kavod Shabbos. You want to not eat a Seudah in the afternoon. We once had a discussion about allowing a restaurant to be open serving dinners in the summer until 7:30, 8 o'clock on a Friday. Shabbos doesn't start until Shekiah was 9:15 in the summertime. So why can't the restaurant be serving dinner until 7 o'clock? And I said, you can't. So you can't have a Seudah Erev Shabbos at 7 o'clock. What are you doing? Lahalok, if someone asked you, can I go to dinner 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon? No, you can't sit down to dinner 5, 6 o'clock Friday afternoon. It's Erev Shabbos. So why would you give a heksher to a restaurant that's open? So we don't. Restaurants that I know, of course, are not open 5 o'clock. Maybe they're open for takeout until 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and that's it. They're not sitting down for dinner in a restaurant Erev Shabbos. There are cases when we do make exceptions. If there are elderly people, sick people, old age homes, so they can't stay up to 10 o'clock at night to have a Seudah, so then we will give them their dinner at a normal time if it's the same time every day. But for healthy people, we don't do that. That's Kavod Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos is to not have the Seudah on a Friday afternoon. Another thing that is mentioned clearly and is based on the Gemara is to have special clothing for Shabbos. And the Ramban and Chumash learns as part of Mikra Kodesh to have special clothing for Shabbos. The Ramban says Mikra Kodesh is both on the food you eat and the clothing you wear to show that Shabbos is different than the rest of the week. We have special, unique foods for Shabbos. We don't eat weekday foods. You know, there's this concept, never was in the Gemara, obviously. There are people have this terminology. There's the Shabbos cereal. You heard about that, the Shabbos cereal? It's a beautiful thing. This Shabbos is not a weekday. And the kids wanted to know, no, you can't have it. Today's Tuesday, Wednesday, that's Shabbos. Shabbos is special. So for the kids, special cereal is what makes Shabbos special. Good. So you have Shabbos cereal. And that's true with everything. Whatever you're eating, serving on Shabbos. I once had this discussion with a class about serving bagels for Shal Shudas. Is bagels for Shal Shudas acceptable? I know some people do it. Maybe you shouldn't have bagels for Shal Shudas. If bagels is a weekday food, so what are you serving bagels on Shabbos for? Shabbos is supposed to be special food. It's not weekday food on Shabbos, it's for Shabbos food. Now, someone told me that maybe you serve bagels at a bris, and that shows that it's a Sudas mitzvah worthy. Well, there are some people who don't serve bagels at a bris. They feel it's not Sudas mitzvah worthy. I know we think of a bris milah as a milchik fish and cream cheese, lox, and if you're fancy, they'll make you omelets. There are people who only serve fleishiks by bris. The people make a bris as fleishiks. It's a Sudas mitzvah. You don't serve bagels and lox and cream cheese at a chasana. It's a special Sudas, Sudas mitzvah. So a bris milah is not a Sudas mitzvah? Of course it's a Sudas mitzvah. Bris milah is a Sudas mitzvah. So there are people who only serve fleishiks for Sudas mitzvah. Now, I know some people come 7 in the morning, 8 in the morning, how can I eat fleishiks in the breakfast? So when we made a bris, we'd make sure to put out something else, like a kugel, maybe tuna fish. So if someone didn't want to have fleishiks for breakfast, there was an option. But you serve fleishiks, Sudas mitzvah. In any event, I don't know. I'm not saying it's also to serve bagels for Shal Shudas. I'm just wondering if maybe there's something better to serve for Shal Shudas. Shal Shudas is a Shabbos. It's still Shabbos. The foods of Shabbos should reflect that it's Shabbos. You have special foods. I think everyone has special foods. Whether you're Ashkenazi, Sephardi, Tamani, they're special Shabbos foods. These are Shabbos recipes, Shabbos food. And if someone wasn't brought up with Shabbos, they won't know about it. And then I agree. If someone wasn't brought up, they'll have no clue about whether it's gefilte fish or chicken soup or whatever it is in that culture. But Shabbos is special. The food should be special. And the clothing should be special. I once saw Psak of Soloveitchik from Boston said, you're not dressing on Shabbos for your friends and your neighbors. And if you're off on vacation in a cottage and no one's around, you can wear what you want. You're dressing for Shabbos. You're getting dressed like covered Shabbos. It's Shabbos no matter where you are, no matter who's with you. So you can't say, well, I'm not going to shul. I'm up in a place where no one is here. I'm diving at home. I don't have to get dressed for Shabbos. Of course I have to get dressed for Shabbos. You have to get dressed for Shabbos. Shabbos requires the clothing, not your friends and neighbors. You have to dress for covered Shabbos. And unfortunately, there are some people who think, okay, Friday night, I get dressed. Shabbos lunch, you make kids, I get dressed. By Shabbos afternoon, we go what they call casual. What does that mean to go casual? Shabbos afternoon is as much Shabbos as Friday night. It's as much Shabbos as Shabbos morning. In fact, there are those who say, as Shabbos progresses, the Kedusha increases, you have that much more behind you, the Kedusha goes higher and higher to Shal Shudas. So what are you doing? So now I don't have to dress the Shabbos clothes now because it's Shabbos afternoon. It's just a wrong way of thinking. We're not dressing for going to shul. We're not dressing for the people around. We're dressing for Shabbos. And as long as it's Shabbos, we're dressing for Shabbos. There are those who say, it's brought to Sfarim, to stay in your big day Shabbos till after Lav Malka. Not till, for sure, Havdalah, nothing to talk about. But until Malav Malka, because even the Malav Malka is covered for Shabbos. The whole concept of eating a Suda, Matzah Shabbos, to escort the Shabbos Malka is a part of covered Shabbos. So as part of covered Shabbos, you dress in your big day Shabbos until after Malav Malka. I know sometimes that could be a challenge. Sometimes there's things you're doing before Malav Malka, and you don't want to wear your Shabbos clothes for those activities. Okay, you have to think about how do you schedule yourself. But ultimately, covered Shabbos is what requires us to dress for Shabbos. And if you are with people who don't get it, they don't get it. But that's the concept. The concept is for Shabbos. It's not for anyone else. And that's why we dress. And we have special clothes, and that should be the covered Shabbos. There are some that say that the clothing I wear for Shabbos, I shouldn't wear during the week. Don't wear it during the week. Special Shabbos. So someone says to me, a black skirt is a black skirt. What's the difference? It's a black skirt. Should I buy two of the exact same skirt, one for Shabbos, one for weekday? So I don't know the answer to these difficult questions. Maybe if your blouse is different, that's what counts. Obviously, your tops are different for Shabbos than weekday, but your skirt is the same. I don't know. Garments that don't demonstrate kavod do not have to be special for Shabbos. That's for sure. Clothing that doesn't demonstrate kavod Shabbos doesn't have to be special clothing. The clothing that shows kavod, which is the outer clothing, so that has to be the kavod Shabbos. That has to be different. There's a discussion, some want to talk about whether pajamas have to be special for Shabbos. And I know some people, for their children, will have special Shabbos pajamas. And maybe that's taka fit, because the kids are walking around in their pajamas. They're part of Friday night or whatever it is. So some people have special Shabbos pajamas. I know that little girls have Shabbos socks, right? Now, really, you shouldn't need Shabbos socks. Who cares what kind of socks you wear? Socks, is that good? But maybe for little girls, that's part of the kavod, is the socks. So you have special Shabbos socks. Whatever we can do that gets covered to Shabbos is covered. Yerushalmi says, there's no special Shabbos shoes. And Yerushalmi was the clothing, not the shoes. Again, the shoes did not demonstrate any covered. And I think part of that was because they didn't have paved streets or sidewalks, and basically your shoes got nasty as soon as you walked outside. So people had shoes. You had one pair of good shoes, and that's what you had. And they wore weekday Shabbos, made no difference. And according to Yerushalmi, you didn't have to change your shoes to cover Shabbos. Today, everyone has at least one pair of Shabbos shoes, maybe you have more. So, all right, if that gives cover, then our shoes aren't. We're not walking in streets that are muddy and all other stuff in the streets. So maybe Taka, does the Indian have Shabbos shoes too? I'm not sure if all men have two pairs of shoes for Shabbos. It could be, maybe it's an age thing. You get to a certain age, you need comfortable shoes, and that's what you wear. And that's it, maybe for women too. Comes a point, these are the shoes you wear. But if you can, and it demonstrates covered Shabbos, and it's not going to cause you undue pain, I think if someone's told me I have nice pairs of shoes for Shabbos, but kills my feet, I don't know if you have to kill your feet in Shabbos. Shabbos is not to hurt yourself, so to speak. It's for oynig, not for tzar. But if you want to be caught dead outside without these shoes, then what are you going to do? Then you have to choose between pain in your feet or wearing the nice shoes. But again, the concept is it's only those articles of clothing that demonstrate covered. I don't think you need a Shabbos raincoat and a weekday raincoat. A raincoat's a raincoat. It's raining, you need a raincoat. Some people have a separate Shabbos raincoat, fine. I could probably say the same thing with a winter coat. Who needs two winter coats? You wear a winter coat. But I know people have separate Shabbos winter coats, weekday winter coats. Okay. If you do, you do. But that's not the covet. The covet isn't in the overcoat or in a raincoat, and maybe not in your shoes or boots. But when it comes to the clothing that demonstrates covet, yeah, they have to have special the entire Shabbos, for the whole duration of Shabbos. So kavod Shabbos is the preparations for Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos is what we wear on Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos is what we serve, the foods we eat on Shabbos. And the idea of not eating it before Shabbos, not having it in advance. The Ramchal continues, "V'chal ha'yira oid kibud hater l'deh." We could add to the concept of serving Hashem with Yirat Shamayim, giving honor to Torah and those who learn Torah. Ubehed Yishanin, it's a Mishnah in Ovis, Kol Machabris HaTorah, Gufa Mechubur Al HaBrius. Whoever gives cover to Torah, so he will be honored by people. V'amuzach HaZal teaches Am Yoichanan. Now, Mipnei Mazocha Achav L'Malchus Es Mishtayim Shana. Why did Achav, who was a terrible man, he did terrible things, why was he king for 22 years? L'Vishe Kibed Es HaTorah. He gave honor to Torah. Shenitna be'es mishtayim oisis, that is given in 22 letters. So the Torah was given 22 letters, and he gave cover to Torah. He merited to be king for 22 years. Shenem, as it says, v'yishav malachim malachov, v'kamachon nechesim v'yodav l'kachu. The Gemara explains these psukim on Sef Malachim, that messengers were sent to Achav that we want all your treasures. V'yol malachi ben hadad imru la'adoni ha-melech l'shalshach l'avdecha b'yishon aseh. So he sent back to the messengers of King Ben-Hadad, listen, whatever you want, I can do, but this I can't do. I cannot give you machmad, I can't give you machmad enecho, that which is so desirable. What is this special thing that I can't give you? My machmad enecho, la sefer Torah, refers to the sefer Torah. You want my jewels, you want my treasures, you can have that. Torah you cannot have. You cannot have the Torah. That is the most precious thing. And because he gave cover to the Torah and refused it to Ben-Hadad, so he was zeichet to Malchus 20 years. But Amr Chazal tells further, If you're traveling from town to town, you don't take a sefer Torah and put it in a sack and leave it on a donkey. Vayikalav and ride on top. You hold it in your embrace. You don't sit on a bed or a bench with a sefer Torah on the same bench. You don't toss holy scriptures, even if it's not Tanakh, even if it's Halachas and Agarata. Furthermore, there's an order. You don't put Navi and Ksum on top of Chumash. These are things that the Chachamim impose on all Kaisel. From here, the Chassid learns to give more Kavod. To give Kavod to Hashem. So the concept is to give Kavod to Torah and those who learn Torah. So we don't give Svarim to non-Jews. We don't give Kisvei Kodesh to non-Jews. We don't sit on the chair with them. We don't just put it down. If ever Sefer Torah is sitting on the Shulchan, and we're not putting it back, we cover with a talus. We don't leave it by itself. We once had a Maisa, I don't know if some of you were here, the fire alarm went off in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. It's the middle of Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, and the fire alarm goes off. So they finished the Aliyah, and I said, everyone has to leave. You have to leave the building. And some people asked me, why are we leaving the building? There's no fire. I said, there's children here. The fire alarm rings, you leave the building. I don't want to mechanach the kids that you don't leave. If the fire alarm rings, you leave the building. However, I want two people to stay with Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah does not stay alone. Sefer Torah is sitting out in the shulchan. We weren't going to start carrying the Sefer Torah outside. There was no fire. The fire alarm was ringing. I don't know why it was ringing. So everyone went out of the building, but we made sure they were peeled by the Sefer Torah. You don't leave a Sefer Torah. Either you take it with you outside, chas when a real fire, take all the Sefer Torah out. Or if you don't leave it, you don't leave a Sefer Torah by itself like that. So eventually the fire department came and couldn't shut the alarm, and they had to go to Yeshiva Dola, and they got the code, and the whole thing, we got the alarm off. You don't leave a Sefer Torah. You don't leave a Sefer Torah. You don't sit on table svarim. You're careful how you layer them. There is a discussion today, this halacha that he says not to put Nevi'im Ksuvim Kabi Chumashim. There's a question if it applies to printed svarim. They were talking about handwritten scrolls. Let's say you have a handwritten bracious. Just a bracious. Not a sefer Torah, bracious. And you have a handwritten shmuel. You don't put the shmuel on top of the bracious. So today, they teach children, you'll see in school, if you put a Navi on top of your chumash, to make sure to take the Navi off, put the chumash on top. It's not clear the halacha that it's necessary. Once you have printed svarim, this kedushim printed svarim, but it's not clear that the printed chumash is more kaddish than the other. Also, you see all the time, and I do this too, you see a sefer upside down, you turn it over. Why do we do that? It should be right side up. Well, we have svarim printed on both sides of the page. So when the sefer is upside down, half of it is right side up also. Why are we so nervous about it's on his back? I mean, half of the sefer is right side down, the other way the other half is up. If you only print it on one side, you're right. When you print it on two sides, it doesn't make a difference, really. But we do it. I know we do these things. We turn it over and we fix them up. So it's a chinuch of the concept. But when you really think about reality, once you print it both sides of the page, there's no point one side versus the other side. What is an issue, Svarim should not be upside down. Svarim, you have a sefer that should be on the shelf, should be right side up like this. If you ever see a sefer upside down, that's not covered. That you got to turn over. And there's a famous school, you may have heard this. If a woman is pregnant and the doctor tells her the baby is breech, so the baby's head is not where it's supposed to be, they might try to turn the baby. Some say you're not supposed to try to turn the baby. It's not safe. It is safe. If the baby's feet are first, it's not a great way to deliver a baby. Many times they end up with a C-section. So we say if the baby is breech, they could tell while she's still pregnant where the position of the head is. Check the svarim in the house. Make sure the svarim are right side up. There have been many cases they find the cleaning lady, someone put a sefer in upside down. They straighten it out, the baby turns. So this is like a well-known school. If a baby is breached, check the svarim in the bookshelves, bookcase. You have svarim in your bookcase, make sure they're all top up, bottom down, and not upside down. And sometimes that's the case, and when they turn it, the baby turns also. The Ramchal continues, Ubiklauze included in Kavod Haftarah, Hanikayon, Vahatahara, Hatzvich Devetara. you need cleanliness and purity for Torah. Meaning, shalasik ba filo bihirhu, you don't even think about learning Torah, then mekama samatu nafim in a filthy place. For there'll be a daim shein mekia, so if your hands aren't clean. Chazal tell us about this in many places. That means not just dirt on your hands. It means impurity on a ruchnius level. Your hands have to be clean. If you touch a part of your body that's usually covered, you have to wash your hands to learn Torah. Your hands have to be clean on a ruchnius sense to learn Torah. Ubinyan loim de Torah. Now, as far as giving honor to those who learn Torah, he named mikra kosu with a pasuk. Ne seva tokum v'hadarta pnei zaken. To stand before the elderly and before the zaken. And the zaken refers to the chacham. Zekan chachma minayin afinu l'kol minei kivich erzas lehem. Shoroi vad alechaz yaseu. And from that we learn, for all types of cover that you can possibly do, a chosid should strive to do. Kvar amu chazach hazal seva yisir Hashem yichabed. Give honor to those who fear Hashem. Zeh Yehoshaphat melech Yehuda. Like Yehoshaphat, king of Yehuda. Shekivich yoroi tamach chacham. And every saw tamach chacham. Haya oimen mikisa, who'd get off his throne, umachabko and hug him, umanashko and kiss him, but umul and call him Rebbe, Rebbe, Murray, Murray. Reb Zerik, who was a tremendous sage, he was too ill to continue learning. Haya mesim asal pesach beis medesh, he would sit by the entrance to beis medesh. Why? Lasos mitzvah, he wanted to do a mitzvah at least. Kishayakum lefnei tamachacham. Kishayakum lefnei tamidichacham, he would stand up for tamidicham who walked out or into the beis medesh. So even when he couldn't learn, he wanted the kavaratar. Called Eilat Devaram Shekvar Roim Anachnu Hayosah Beres Baruch Shemo Chafetz Bam. We see these are things the Baruch Hashem wants. V'Gilu Daito Al Yom Hazeh, he has shown us, revealed to us, this is the Ratzon Hashem. V'Kimet Shekain, if that's so, Miyoisha Chafetz Asos Nachas Ruach Liyotso. So who's the one who wants to give Nachas Ruach to Hashem? Hine B'Derech Zayelich V'Yosef Lekach B'Tech B'Loisav V'Lasos Yosha L'Fram Yispach. He's going to continue in this path and do whatever he can. That's the concept of chassid. The chassid sees what's the ratzon Hashem and adds to it and expands on it. And we know clearly Hashem wants us to give kavod to those who study Torah, so we do whatever we can to give kavod to the Talmid Chacham. U'b'chlal zeh included this also, kamo kein similarly, is kibud beis haknesses u'beis hamedrash, giving kavod to the shul and the beis hamedrash. Shein daish lo yinig ben kaos rosh. It's not enough to behave yourself in shul. We should conduct ourselves with all kinds of honor and respect in all ways. In everything he does. If you wouldn't do it in the courtyard of a Melech Gadol, don't do it in shul either. So whether it's behaving improperly, which obviously you can't do, even if that's not proper, someone asks you for your keys, so you toss it to them, you give it to them. I don't know if you toss keys to someone in the Hechel of a Melech Gadol, in the palace of a great king, and you toss keys. You give them the keys. You don't throw things. That's not covered. I know some Rosh Hashivas don't like throwing candy bags at an Ofof. I was at one place, Rosh Hashiva was screaming. He was like a covered. You don't throw things in a base place. That means you don't throw candies too. Most people don't agree with that. They hold it's not a chisorin in covered. But there's something to that too. And we once had a Ofer where the bags were open and popcorn was flying everywhere. That wasn't covered. We had to stop davening to sweep up the shul. So we have rules. It has to be sealed bags. It has to be sealed things. It can't be things that will spill over the place. Can't make a mess. There are degrees of covered. And you have to conduct yourself with covered basic nesses, basic medrash. Things that you would not do in a Hechel HaMelech, you don't do in the shul. And there are tzaddikim who go to shul early and they clean up and they straighten up and they put their chairs in place. Yeshua ben Nun, Chazal say, was Zoicha. Because he would set up the Beis Medrash in the morning, set up the chairs, clean the floors, clean the aron, whatever. You see, dusk, feeling achrayis. This is all covered. This is covered for the Beis Knesset, covered for the Medrash, which is ultimately covered Torah, covered Hashem. These are all things that's so you read stories about these great people, 3 a.m. that come to the shul, start straightening up. So who does it? Nothing happens by itself. Anything that happens, someone did it. And there are a lot of things people can do to make the shul and Beis Medrash a nicer, better place. So anything that you do in that context is also included in this element of midas chasidus, of trying to do whatever possible to give this kavod, which ultimately gives a nachas ruach to the Ibn HaShalom.